But, mes amis, does it escape you that those words were not a reasonable answer at all to what Miss King had just been saying? I've never forgotten anything, not an action, not a name, not a face. It does not make sense. If she had said, I never forget impertinence, something of that kind, but no, a face is what she said. Ah! Cried Poirot, beating his hands together. But it leaps to the eye. Those words, ostensibly spoken to Miss King, were not meant for Miss King at all. They were addressed to someone else, standing behind Miss King. He paused, noting their expressions. Yes, it leaps to the eye. That was, I tell you, a psychological moment in Mrs. Boynton's life. She had been exposed to herself by an intelligent young woman. She was full of baffled fury, and at that moment she recognized someone. A face from the past, a victim delivered into her hands. We are back, you see, at the outsider. And now the meaning of Mrs. Boynton's unexpected amiability on the afternoon of her death is clear. She wanted to get rid of her family because, to use a vulgarity, she had other fish to fry. She wanted the field left clear for an interview with a new victim. Now, from that new standpoint, let us consider the events of the afternoon. The Boynton family go off. Mrs. Boynton sits up by her cave. Now, let us consider very carefully the evidence of Lady Westholme and Miss Pierce. The latter is an unreliable witness. She is unobservant and very suggestible. Lady Westholme, on the other hand, is perfectly clear as to her facts and meticulously observant. Both ladies agree on one fact, an Arab. One of the servants approaches Mrs. Boynton, angers her in some way, and retires hastily. Lady Westholme stated definitely that the servant had first been into the tent occupied by Ginevra Boynton. But you may remember that Dr. Gerard's tent was next door to Ginevra's. It is possible that it was Dr. Gerard's tent the Arab entered. Colonel Carberry said, "Do you mean to tell me that one of those Bedouin fellows of mine murdered an old lady by sticking her with a hypodermic? Fantastic!" "Wait, Colonel Carberry. I have not yet finished. Let us agree that the Arab might have come from Dr. Gerard's tent and not Ginevra Boynton's. What is the next thing? Both ladies agree that they could not see his face clearly enough to identify him, and that they did not hear what was said. That is understandable. The distance between the marquee and the ledge was about 200 yards. Lady Westholme gave a clear description of the man otherwise, describing in detail his ragged breeches and the untidiness with which his puttees were rolled. Poirot leaned forward. "And that, my friends, was very odd indeed, because if she could not see his face or hear what was said, she could not possibly have noticed the state of his breeches and puttees. Not at 200 yards. It was an error, that, you see. It suggested a curious idea to me. Why insist so on the ragged breeches and untidy puttees? Could it be because the breeches were not torn and the puttees were non-existent? Lady Westholme and Miss Pierce both saw the man, but from where they were sitting, they could not see each other. That is shown by the fact that Lady Westholme came to see if Miss Pierce was awake and found her sitting in the entrance of her tent.